I call the Agriculture, Finance, and Policy Committee meeting to order April 4th, 2024. There is a quorum present. Rex and Purcell, may I have a motion for the minutes?
Yes, Madam Chair, just one moment. Madam Chair, I have reviewed the minutes from April 2nd, and I move their approval.
All right, Rex and Purcell moves approval minutes for April 2nd, 2024. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The motion prevails and the minutes for April 2nd, 2024 are approved. Members, we are hearing the governor's recommendations today. So our first bill is House File 5229. This is from the Department of Ag, I believe. So if the commissioner can proceed to the table. So I will move that House File 5229 be laid over for possible inclusion. And I welcome the Commissioner Peterson to the committee. Thank you for being here. If you can, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before we get going today, I'm just wondering about the timing here. I did try calling you and stopped at your office, but you were busy just before. This bill was introduced on Tuesday. It was posted yesterday. And we're hearing it today and not quite sure yet. Is this going to be held over or are you going to pass this out of your committee today?
This will be laid over for possible inclusion.
Okay. But yeah. Again, the timelines are extremely tight and difficult to offer amendments and such. So just would encourage giving us some lead time to when we get to these big bills. Okay.
Yes. Sounds good. Representative Anderson. And with that, Commissioner Peterson, if you can introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thanks, Madam Chair and members. Tom Peterson, Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, and appreciate the opportunity to walk through our governor's recommendations for our finance bill today. And I also have Michelle Medina with me. She's going to walk through the actual recommendations. You can go to the next slide. And just a reminder of our mission with the Department of Agriculture, and I just have it there. We always start our walking through with that. But with that, I have Ms. Medina here, and then we also have our best and brightest staff along, too, if we have more technical questions on some of these. You've heard most of these our recommendations and other bills or language as we've been going through sessions. So I'll turn it over to Ms. Medina.
Michelle Medina, if you can identify yourself for the record, proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, for the record, my name is Michelle Medina, and I serve as Director of Government Relations for the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. So in our budget recommendations, the government recommends a one-time increase to the Agricultural Growth Research and Innovation Program to support our dairy and livestock industries in Minnesota. This is a $4 million request one time in fiscal year 2025. The governor also recommends $3 million from the general fund request, also for fiscal year 2025, and this would be for home in-water treatment systems to remove nitrates from water. So this is focused on the southeast Minnesota area of the state in response to the EPA petition. So this funding would be targeted residents that have a demonstrated need, financial need, who cannot otherwise afford to get these treatment systems in their house. We estimate it's going to cost about $2,600 per house to install these RO systems. The money also will be used to provide education, outreach, and technical assistance to homeowners. We have already started a pilot program to do this with funding we already have at the agency to get this program started. So we're working on those joint powers agreements with the different local government units in southeast Minnesota as well. Okay, the next one is for AFRAC. So this is the Agricultural Fertilizer Research and Education Council. And this allows us to extend the sunset date for the program 5 years. So it'll continue the collection of bulk fees for 5 years, as well as our authority to spend those fees. So the council would sunset fiscal year 2025, this would extend to 2030, and then the authority to collect fees would be extended to 2029. There's an extra year, that year difference is so that we can extend those, we can expend those funds a year after we collect them. And this fee is set at 40 cents. So the next one is the dairy profitability enhancement. This is a budget neutral item. This program would allow us to broaden the use of the funds to support dairy farmers in meeting their needs of the evolving dairy production and processing industries. So it would just help us to address some short-term needs and long-term challenges for industry, working with producers to support them better. So it just expands our current uses of this funding. The next one is the hemp program. So this is also budget neutral. Currently in Minnesota, our industrial hemp program is ran through the state plan through the USDA. When the USDA changes that plan and changes the regulations, we then have to update our state plan. So this would allow us to more streamline our plan and get it in line with the federal standards as they change the plan. So just ensuring that we can continue our plan and keep in good standing with the USDA. So the next one is expanding farm to school and early care grants. So this is a budget neutral grant. This grant would allow us to expand the farm and school and early care grant program to include home-based early care providers, which, you know, there are a lot of in greater Minnesota. So this would just expand the eligibility. And we've heard from a lot of stakeholders, especially during our stakeholder engagement over the summer, that this was a much needed change. So again, a budget neutral one, just expand the use. The Organic Advisory Task Force sunset date. The gun recommends extending the date 10 years out, so from June 30, 2024 to June 30, 2034, and this also is budget neutral. The Farmers Market Technical Grant changes. So this would expand the eligible uses for the appropriation for the Farmers Market Infrastructure Grants to support nutrition programs. So current law stipulates that the funding must be spent on infrastructure that supports SNAP, EBT, and other related programs. So this would allow the farmers markets to include other eligible costs such as service fees and staff capacity. This is one we worked quite a bit with stakeholders on, and their support from the Farmers Market Association on this one. And again, another budget neutral. For the RFA, our Rural Finance Authority, we have a couple different changes. All these changes are budget neutral. So the first one is the beginning farmer tax credit expansion. So this one would have changed the definition of an individual to an individual or an individually owned limited liability corporation, so an individually owned LLC. A lot of people, when they apply for RFA programs, will apply as their LLC, but LLCs, individually owned LLCs, are not currently eligible, only an individual is. So this would expand that and allow more people who apply through the LLC. For the disaster loan program, we would expand this program to include the additional cost of feed as a covered hazard during declared droughts. For the maximum loan account amount increases, I recommend increasing the programs by $100,000 each. This would include the programs of the Beginning Farmer Loan Program, the Seller Sponsored Loan Program, the Agriculture Improvement Loan Program, the Livestock Expansion Loan Program, and the Restructure 2 Loan Program. And that's all we have.
All right. Questions from the committee? Vice Chair Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the overview. I have a couple of questions regarding the nitrate treatment. I'm wondering if you have the answer to this, but I know there are funds being recommended out of the Clean Water Council to also be taking steps towards mitigation of this in the Southeast. I'm wondering if you can speak to the funds from Clean Water Council versus these funds and the similarities or differences or how they work together.
We're gonna have somebody come in.
Thank you for being here. If you can identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Yes, my name is Margaret Wagner, and I'm manager of the Nonpoint Fertilizer Section at the Minnesota Department of Ag. So, Chair, Representative, thank you for the question. As far as the difference or similarities between funding recommended through Clean Water or through this, this proposal focuses just on point-of-use RO systems, so it is limited to just that type of mitigation or treatment for nitrate removal. While my understanding, the Clean Water proposal was broader, looking at other aspects of mitigation that may include well replacement, well treatment in addition to RO. So this is more focused, this proposal. Additionally, the general fund proposal as introduced would be statewide. So it would be available statewide in areas with nitrate concerns. So that could include both the Central Sands as well as areas of Southwest.
Vice Chair Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Wagner. So just to clarify, so the $3 million in the general fund request is not geographically specific. It's available to the state if a private well owner indicates that they have nitrate levels over 10 parts per million, or can you go into a little more details about how folks might access these particular funds?
Ms. Wagner?
Chair, Representative, how we envision this working is that there would be criteria for eligibility, and that would include a well test that was elevated at or above 10 parts per million from a certified lab. We'd also look at to prioritize this funding both to households that have infants or pregnant persons in the household, as well as a demonstrated economic disadvantage. So looking at those as priorities and then ranking those and as part of the program.
Vice Chair Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think my last follow-up question to this, which maybe you can or can't address, but sort of that I serve on the Clean Water Council, and we had discussions around, you know, how many millions would it take, and seeing in those recommendations, I think three or four million coming recommended from the Clean Water Council, and then this is 3 million, but this is statewide. So I'm wondering, it's not a budget year this year, but because of this petition from the EPA, we do need to take some steps. So if you're familiar enough with the recommendation from Clean Water Council and sort of how these two together do or do not address the scope long term, is this just sort of a 1 year bridge? Is this what we think sort of addresses the problem for in-home personal drinking for private wells? If you can just sort of like help us zoom out a little at the scope.
Yeah. Ms. Wagner.
Chair, Representative, I think the short answer is that the scope of the issue is statewide in these areas that are vulnerable to groundwater. And so this proposal is to initiate a program and to address those initial wells. I believe the need is larger than the initial 3 million. And I'll also just acknowledge that the Clean Water Council request, again, included something more than an RO system, and often those mitigation strategies are more expensive. So as we look at additional mitigation strategies, that price tag would go up. So this is an entry point, probably a lower cost way to deliver clean water in homes immediately.
Vice Chair Purcell.
Thank you. Ms. Wagner, I have a question. So do you know, or perhaps Commissioner, do you know if there are current programs right now, whether in the Department of Ag or in the Department of Health or maybe NPCA, that we can tap into to address some of the mitigation need and or help, you know, find other pools of funding? Are there current programs that we can tap into right now? Commissioner?
Madam Chair, and for RO systems, not as that I'm as familiar with. For wells, there is some limited programs. And again, this gets at to Vice Chair Purcell's kind of question too, and what Ms. Wagner was saying about the cost. And so the RO systems, you know, being a 2,600, but a well would be getting at the bigger issue, you know, can cost anywhere from $20,000 to $50,000. And so we do have our Ag BMP loan program, which you have seen requests and funded through that. And that's a request through the Clean Water Council this year too to work on that. And so that we can do wells with, and it's a little complicated, but we do wells with that, and we're hoping to continue to do more. And so then you also, if you're on a farm, you can use EQIP dollars, but it's again difficult for a wells. So there are some, and then there's some other low interest loans for wells, but for RO systems, not that I'm aware of. Is that, I don't know if that's accurate, but those are what we know. And wells are something that we're looking at as priority, is why we've asked for more money with the Ag BMP loan, and something we'll continue to build on. We know if you really dig into those numbers, and again, what we're dealing with the nitrate issue on the township testing, those were our numbers, our tests. But if you look at the pre-code wells on that, it drops quite a bit. And so, you know, we really, you know, in meeting with the well drillers themselves, I met with them last week, you know, the ways we can work to upgrade those wells, but it's expensive, you know, and so however we can offer that, but that right now those are the programs that we have, and I don't know if there's anything you want to add.
No, thank you.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This may be for the Commissioner or for Ms. Medina. The Governor's supplemental budget, I believe, agrees with the agreed-on targets of the legislature, and the Department of Ag is going to get, I thought I saw, $4.55 million of additional funding. And yet these first two items in your handout are $7 million. Where is the money going to come from?
Commissioner?
Madam Chair and Lead Anderson, that is a, you know, something I've been thinking about and really haven't had a chance really to talk, you know, with the administration and the chairs about as we look at the targets and the agreement that we have. And, you know, my understanding and again, having getting into that and is the numbers in the targets will allow some flexibility in this. But again, I don't want to get too far out in front of myself and as we get into negotiations, but my understanding is, you know, we have the money in the tails. It will be more for Agri and to help fill some of that is my understanding is what's come out in some of the agreements, and then the money for one time. So that would help us with some of these dollars that we have in our budget. Again, this budget came out before the agreement, so it's a little, you know, hard talking about numbers here today, but that's my understanding. So, you know, and my goal and concern has always been on Agri that we take care of our staff and our programs that we have and that we're able to keep that structure going. So in a roundabout way, I think we're going to get there. I think but there are some dollars that'll be on the bottom line, and my understanding is that the agreement between the leaders, and again, I haven't really dug into this with Chair Vang and Chair Putnam, and then how we're going to allocate those dollars in 24, the nitrate, that some of that is agreed to. So that would cover the RO systems is my understanding, if that all makes sense.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Yeah, I too share a concern about the Agri Fund, and here's a one-time appropriation. Into digging into some of the numbers, Agri, when it's fully funded, is about $50 million over a biennium. And for the next, the out years, 26, 27, we're about $17.5 million short. So either to you or to the chair of the committee, is it your intention to get that Agri Fund back up to fully funded by next year?
Representative Anderson, I guess we will, you and I can have a more detailed discussion about where you're, how you got to that number, because my intention is to fully fund Agri as if we didn't have to worry about the sunset prior to what we dealt with last year. So I think we do have a shared value about protecting Agri, but we can have a more internal discussion about where the numbers are exactly at. Representative Anderson?
Thanks, Madam Chair. I got the numbers from our fiscal staff for fully funding Agri. But yeah, we can talk about that offline. A couple other questions for the department. Thank you to the governor, I guess, for extending the AFRAC program. It was attempted to be ended here a couple of times during our committees so far. So thank you for that. But just curious, the governor's plan calls for extending it for 5 years, but yet the organic conference is going to be extended for 10 years. Why that discrepancy, and does that indicate less of a favorite choice for AFRAC, or talk about that?
Commissioner?
Madam Chair and members, or Madam Chair and Lead Anderson, I was just thinking of that too, as you know, as we put our budget together and look at, you know, and we visit with our stakeholders and everybody else, we felt comfortable putting 5 years forward on that. Again, we kind of did a portal and a thought, and that's kind of what we heard was for 5 years. We also did hear quite a bit for 10 years, so we settled on five. I'll just say, too, as commissioner, I think that's, we'll be comfortable with where the committee or where the legislature ends up with that. To me, that's not a, You can do 7 or 7.5 or whatever you want to do, but that's, to me, it's not an end of the world. I try to advocate for the governor's position, but on that, we ended up on 5 years just from what we heard, and so that's what we recommended. But 10 years is certainly, that's, we've done that before. And the same on the organic is kind of what we heard. We heard from the public, and that's what we put forward was, why don't we do 10 on that one? So that's kind of where we ended up.
Rep. Anderson.
Thanks again, Madam Chair. One final question, Commissioner Peterson. Thank you for your answers. Some of us, I guess on this side, are a little concerned when we hear talk of giving the agencies more rulemaking authority. And if you're asking for that in the hemp program, what kind of things do you envision may need to be addressed through rulemaking as you stay in compliance with USDA?
Madam Chair and Lead Anderson, as we work through this, I'm not a big rulemaking person myself either. I'd rather not do rules. I'd rather have you guys make the decisions, and so it makes it a lot easier for me. But there are times where, we have done this with, we did come to the legislature to ask for rulemaking because of timing and everything else. And so I'll have Mr. Cordelet just expand on that. But again, I don't go to seek to expand our authority ever on rulemaking. But in some cases, there's some necessary tweaks that he can explain it a lot better than I can. So
if you can identify yourself for the record, proceed.
Sure. Madam Chair, representatives, my name is Anthony Cordelet. I oversee the hemp program for the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Representative Anderson, we aren't looking for expanding our rules. The reason we're looking to do this with the exempt rulemaking is that we continuously face changes at the federal level. We just established Chapter 1565 in rule for our hemp rules, which is basically our state plan under USDA codified. We're a little leery because we've seen a lot on the hemp front with the upcoming farm bill, if it does get published this year. If that goes through, we got to go through rulemaking again to be up to speed with our plan. So that's where we're at with the hemp part of it.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Chair Vang. And Commissioner, thank you for this bill today. And I was looking through, I got to 14.3 and saw the dairy struck, and I'm like, oh no. But it's moved to 18, and 18.23 is basically the same language. And I'm just kind of wondering about the move and what all that entails and what's happening there.
Michelle?
Yep. So, Madam Chair, Representative, so what we're doing is we're reappropriating money that was appropriated last year into 2025 to give us more time to spend the money down. So we do have that kind of, that we're short in Agri. This will allow us to kind of be able to keep our staff and maintain them, even though we don't have full funding in Agri.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you. So this is really kind of moving it under Agri then, and allows more time
in the lowered 24's budget.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, dairy and I, it just, yes. So it gives us more time, gives us an extra year to spend the dairy with an I money. Yes, that's all it does.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner.
If I would too, and Representative Nelson, thank you. And I was trying to remember, after visiting and what's happened for the committee is, and thank you all for investing $4 million into dairy with an I last year, and then visiting with a lot of the stakeholders. But the farm bill not passing, we had tied last year's language to the farm bill, and the farm bill was extended for a year, and this gets very complicated. But then, so the sign up was for 1 year. They did a 1 year sign up, and you got a reduction of 25%. So people all thought that's a good incentive right now for getting folks to sign up, and they are. We're doing great on the sign up for this short 1 year deal. And so talking to the groups, we all said we could use the money then next year. We would do the payment of the Dairy with an Eye program next year when they pass the farm bill. The catch is if the Congress doesn't pass the farm bill next year, we run up against the timeline in June. And so we may be coming early in session next year with authority to spend the money or do a little bit early in the year if they pass another extension. And it doesn't look like they're going to pass a farm bill. So for now, you know, I feel like the groups are fine and we want the incentive next year, and this gives us that authority. So that's kind of the explanation. But we could have some issues next year that we'd want to address, but we're, you know, we'll let's be positive that Congress will get it done.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Chair Vang, and thank you for that answer. It just kind of helps clarify it. I was a little worried when I saw dairy with an eye struck at first, yeah. But it's really just kind of fixing the Congress's problems. So,
Representative Jacob.
Well, thank you, Chair Vang. So there's already been a fair amount of discussion on the nitrate issue, but everything seems to be, I guess I'll say, reactionary or after the fact. And $3 million when you start dealing with substandard wells, can you explain to me why you're not focused on preventative action by farmers or what we can do better with on-the-ground practices to prevent the issue?
Commissioner?
Madam Chair and Representative Jacob, I'd say that we are very focused on preventative actions. You know, if you look at all the steps that we have taken as a department in the last 4 years, and you and I have talked about this a lot, you know, in this bill, we're not focusing money on this because we have other pieces that we're working on. So we have our Ag BMP loan program. And again, you know, we've spent $12 million in the since I've been commissioner in those eight counties. We have the Ag Water Certification Program, and again, since I've been commissioner, we've done almost a couple hundred farms and a couple hundred thousand acres. We put in the fertilizer rule and restricted application in the fall on 1.1 million acres in those areas. We have the soil health equipment grants that you all helped us pass, and we just released those yesterday that you can see are spread out across the state. So we've taken a lot of actions in those, and we do have other requests in the clean water portion of the bill. But in this bill, we're simply addressing one of the concerns that was brought up in the petition, which is to provide clean drinkable water to the public that we're not able to do with some of the other funds that we have. And again, we did clean out the couch cushions to start a pilot program to address that part of the petition, where we are working with the Department of Health and others to supply clean water clean water to those that need it. And so we wanted to work on addressing that part of the petition. And so that's why you see this in that part of it for this year. And we'd love to have more general funds to put more dollars into the equipment grants and to other things, and you've had a lot of great ideas, and you know, too, as well. And so that's kind of the point, and that this is what I was working on in our budget and the dollars that we have. But we are trying to address it in other ways, but we have put forward a lot of efforts and appreciate the work farmers have done in Southeast, and that we'll continue to do in that. So in this particular budget, we may not be taking, you know, steps, but there are many places that we are. But we do have to address, I feel, the petition on that part of it, and that's why we put this forward.
Representative Jacob.
Thank you for the explanation. Just seems far more reactionary than proactive on the issue. Thank you.
Commissioner, you mentioned briefly that there are some pilot programs that you guys are trying. Can you explain what those pilot programs are? What are they?
I'll have Ms. Wagner, Madam Chair, if it's okay, I'll have Ms. Wagner come up, and she can do a great job explaining pilot.
Okay. Ms. Wagner, thank you.
Yeah. Chair, members of the committee. The Department of Agriculture has been interested in looking at RO systems for a number of years, and so some of the initial data we have is to actually look at the effectiveness. So we are really interested in that monitoring component and what, how much nitrate or pesticides could be removed from in-home treatment. So this is something that we're really building on, our understanding of systems that are available on the market and even new technology that's available. So as part of a pilot program in southeast Minnesota. It is to work through a joint powers agreement with a local partner that would help administer this program and make those RO systems available to households with elevated nitrate, and again, based on similar criteria that I explained before. So really looking at households that have infants, children, or pregnant people in the home. So that initial pilot would build on our township testing data. So participants that previously participated and had their wells tested, they would be eligible in this pilot, and then we would work through the administration of that program, both installing those RO system as well as evaluating those systems. So again, the importance of a pre and post test to really understand the type of treatment that would occur in those homes.
Ms. Wagner, is this pilot program currently in effect, or are you guys hoping to start this, you know, anticipating the $3 million request with this? Ms. Wagner?
Yeah. Chair, this is currently being implemented. So as the commissioner mentioned, the first step was to look for funding that was available and able to be invested in this type of initiative. And so since then, we have we are entering into a joint powers agreement with Olmsted County that would help us administer this program. So we signed that contract and are taking those first initial steps. Yeah, thanks. And as a reminder, as we talk about a pilot project, that pilot is specific to the 8-county region in southeast Minnesota. As we put forward a general fund request, we know the need is beyond that, so that would expand to other areas with vulnerable groundwater.
Thank you. Representative Cha.
Yes, thank you, Chair. My question is in regards to AFRIC and the fee of 40 cents. Is that adequate? Do you see an increase of that price from 40 cents to something larger or less?
Commissioner?
Feel free, you can add to it. Madam Chair and Representative Cha, I always would advocate for more money for agriculture and research, and it gets into an interesting issue because you're, you know, dealing with the amount of research that we do put into agriculture, and I think it's really interesting because the dollars are important. When fertilizer prices were high a couple of years ago, AFRAC really, you know, I think really came on, and there was a great article. You can just Google it, just came out like 2 days ago, that shows Minnesota was in the top 10 states in reducing fertilizer application in the last, is it 5 years or 10 years? And 5 years. And so that's really positive news. And it also shows that some of the messaging and everything that we're getting out there is applicable. What I will say on the 40 cents is, again, remind that this is something, this was an idea that farmers came to the legislature with and said, we want to tax ourselves, or I'm sorry, I don't, or we want to add a fee to ourselves get this, to do this research, because we need it, you know, and to be honest, and not to pick on the university or others, that wasn't keeping up with it. And you'll see that a lot of times where we fund a lot of dollars that go to the university through this committee, and that was another way of doing it. But remember, farmers wanted to come and say, so you'd have to check with the farmers to see if they want it, and you're seeing that now too as fertilizer prices have stabilized some. But you know, we're getting $2 less for corn than we were last year in soybeans. So then it's kind of like I don't know. So but 40 cents has been pretty comfortable with what we've done, and we've been able to do quite a bit of research every year on that. You know, so I would say in a roundabout way it's okay. But Ms. Wagner works with the program quite a bit, and I don't know if she has other things she'd like to add on that or not.
Yeah, I'll agree with your comment and just add that as someone that gets to sit in on those meetings and hear from all the researchers, the requests that come to AFRIC is greater than the amount that's able to be awarded. So we do see projects each year that are not funded through AFRIC, and so that need for agricultural research is greater than But as the commissioner mentioned, I think the broad support within the agricultural community for AFRIC, and that broad support and the coalition of those ag industry partners that are part of AFRIC and on the council have agreed that 40 cents is where they think that fee is set, and it really is helping support a lot of great research here in Minnesota.
Representative Shaw.
Thank you.
No. Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Perhaps, Commissioner, if you could send that article. We were trying to do some real-time looking up, and there's a lot of articles about fertilizer in Minnesota, and so if you could get that to the committee, we'd love to read that. Thank you.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Cha, thank you for your question. This is kind of a kumbaya day today, I think, supporting AFREC. I remind my colleagues that you had two bills heard earlier this year that did away with AFREC, so it's good to hear that support for the program. And Representative Fisher of the Clean Water Council had a standalone bill, and I had a standalone bill that would have extended that same program, but neither one of us got a hearing. So, again, I want to say thank you for having this included in your budget. And just a question to the commissioner, and maybe one of your people can help out. Really a good program that we've had over the years has been the grants to help expand E15. I think our state leads the nation in E15 stations that have it available. I think I saw something on social media. There are like, I don't know, 15 million gallons pumped in January or something. So it's really catching on. It's cheaper, higher octane. Can you talk about the grants issued the first year and what you see ahead coming up for the second year of those grants for the petroleum grants?
Commissioner?
I could, Madam Chair and Representative Anderson and you know, this would be the second year. We did our first one last budget cycle. We had we did like 40 some grants. I also remind folks the last time the corn growers chipped in $1 million, we were able to leverage those dollars. There also is a federal program. It's a BIP, Bio Incentive Program. The secretary was here yesterday and brought that up. And so sometimes some stations will either, you know, go for that program or our program. Our program, though, was designed to be a lot more nimble and efficient. But we had pretty good. I know it closed, and they're evaluating the grants right now for this first round this year. And we did have quite a bit of interest in it. But I'd say it's we do have maybe the numbers, so. I know Ashley or Ms. Press is here that can maybe provide some numbers.
If you can identify yourself for the record, proceed.
Yeah, Madam Chair and Representative Anderson, actually, unfortunately, I don't have those numbers right in front of me, but I can work on getting those together and get those sent over to you. We were able to award all of the funds that were appropriated for fiscal year 24, just as in 22 and 23, the request exceeded the funds that we had available, and we've been able to grant out all of those funds.
Okay. Representative Anderson.
Well, thank you again, Madam Chair. Thanks for that answer. Just one final question, then I think we have time. Again, on the overall budget, it seemed like you're decreasing funding in the areas of admin and financial assistance and increasing funding for market development. Can you explain the reasoning for that? I would think financial assistance would be a key component here in the department. I don't know where it is in the bill. I just took it from the summary. I didn't mean to throw you
that's
a curve here.
Commission.
Madam Chair and Representative Anderson, I'm not sure exactly, because we're not,
we're moving
some stuff around in Agri, but we're not decreasing.
Commissioner, I believe we can have nonpartisan staff help us out. Mr. Sullivan?
Madam Chair, I think Representative Anderson is referring to the $20,000 that's moved from the maintaining current service level appropriation. So the increase to ag marketing and development is on 7.4. And the corresponding reduction to admin is on 27.13.
that we, might be an error. Is that what we're saying? It was an error, a previous error, is what Michelle's saying.
Commissioner, what I'm hearing is it's a drafting error.
Okay, hold on.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the committee and proceed.
Thanks, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Paul Huguenin. I'm the Director of the Ag Marketing and Development Division at the Department of Agriculture. And that is exactly what it was. Last year's bill, if you do the averages on what the maintenance of service level should be for each of those two sections, it was off by 20,000. So 20,000 that should have been in Ag Marketing and Development actually showed up in the financial and administration part. And as the Director of Ag Marketing and Development, I caught that. So we just wanted to get that right for the future.
Thank you. Rep. Anderson. Okay. All right. Further questions from the committee? The discussion? Oh, Representative Ring.
Thank you, Chair. I have a question for the commissioner about the mental health outreach resources. So it looks like $100,000 for the first year, $100,000 for the second year for mental health outreach and support to farmers, ranchers, and others, and also for farm safety grant and outreach programs. I'm wondering if you could explain what that is and if that's a change from previous years or if we're staying at the same level for funding, and if you could kind of flesh out what that means.
Representative Ream, can you point out what line exactly are you looking at?
So 7.6 on page 7, Article 1, Section 1.
Yep.
Commissioner?
Yep, Madam Chair, this was, and nothing changed this year, but last year the legislature just shored up some of our language, and we've always had great support for mental health within this committee, and that includes, we have two mental health counselors, we have our farm advocate program, which would be a separate appropriation, but this has our mental health outreach for farmers, so we also have a 24-hour call line, and you can text line. But then we also put some money in last year for grain bin safety and tractor rollover, and that currently is open. And so over the years, we've had, issues with rollovers. In 2019, we lost 11 Minnesotans died in bins and silos. And so the legislature took action to add grain bin safety and some grants to that at that time. And so this is another program that we have at the department, very important piece that we have. And so that's what that addresses.
Representative Reed.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Commissioner. So, yeah, I've actually seen some posts on social media where they've talked about grain bin safety, and I think that's really encouraging. Can you explain how the hotline works and how, like, are the two mental health counselors, are they staffing the hotline, or how does that look for people, and what area would it be serving?
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative Ream, and and also just a good remember for all the committee, because you all might run into this from time to time, as I do, where farmers call and they're distressed, and just a good reminder that we have Ted Matthews, who some of you may have met or heard, who's been our one of our counselors for a long time. We work with a regional development commission that helps work with this program, and we funnel money through the department to them that pays these two counselors. And Ted's been with us a long time, and a few years ago the legislature decided to help us add a second mental health counselor. And farming is isolating, and you deal with weathers and prices, and I can just tell you firsthand that I've known too many farmers that decided to take their own life, or and it's very difficult sometimes to encourage. I always say, like, Ted will tell me, like, and sometimes you got to ask two or three times before somebody will call. I had somebody last week where, I've been asking him for a month to call Ted, and it's very difficult that, this particular gentleman is a dairy farmer. It's a very tough time right now for him. And, we're trained and gone through training to see, when we can send folks to them. And so they're very well trained. They are, you get a call. You can also email or text, as we also added that, because some people just don't want to call and talk, but they might be text and say, hey, I'd like to talk to somebody. And then we can decide if Ted or Monica or who would be better to reach out and talk to them. And they're both based in outstate Minnesota, but they cover the whole state. And so it's a really important tool that we have and that we appreciate the funding that we've had through the legislature. And then we also have 10 farm advocates. Then again, those were built in the 1980s farm crisis. And the advocates, I always say it's good if they're not busy or not working, you know, and but they're kind of getting busy again, you know. And so, but those are folks too that can help farmers that are in stress. But they work more with financial stress, but they work very closely with the counselors, because a lot of times it is financial stress that leads to that. But that's also been helpful funding that we have had through the legislature.
Representative Reed.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Commissioner, for that update. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Representative Cha.
I think it's great that we fund a mental health outreach program. I guess my question to you is, how do you handle the translation for non-English speaking farmers?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair and Representative Cha, and that's you know, become you know, a bigger issue. I just set a meeting about that this morning, you know, and that's something that we're, you know, to be honest, continuing to work with and identify those resources that we can do that. And we're also trying to work with our farm advocates that we have, you know, farm advocates available too that can work with different issues or problems that arise, you know. And so you know, I'll give you an example. As we have new people, you know, moving into farming or moving into areas, you might have more problems, not just financially, but also with new zoning issues, or because your farm might not look like a farm. And this happens all over the state, you know. And so you might you know, building codes and all these different things, and it's hard. Who do you talk to understand that? And so that's something the department, you know, is working with the Emerging Farmer Office to help identify those resources that we can have to assist that, because you know, we have had that happen, and we do have translation services that we can use, and so that, you know, and the main ones have been Hmong, Karen, Latino, and Somali. And so those are, you know, what we're, you know, working on focus, but we still have some work to do on it too as well. But we'll keep working on it.
Representative Cha.
Yes, and thank you for that answer. And, you know, I just want to, you know, bring this conversation about the impacts of climate change to mental health, right? It's happening, it's real, it's happening to farmers. And I hope in the future we can have more conversation around that and provide more funding to tackle these problems for farmers. So thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none. Closing remarks, Commissioner?
Madam Chair, members, thank you for the consideration. We're ready to work with all of you.
Thank you, Commissioner. And thank you, Michelle. Members, next bill we have is House File 5231. From the Office of Broadband. All right, and House File 5231 will be laid over for possible inclusion. And so with that, welcome Director Mackey. Thank you for being here today, and Director Dannon, if you can proceed with your introduction for the record, and then proceed.
All right. Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Bree Mackey, and I'm the Executive Director at the Office of Broadband Development. Thank you for the opportunity to be in front of you today to talk about the broadband supplemental budget proposal. So there are two asks within this proposal. The first is transfer authority, and the second is authorization to utilize federal digital equity funding. And want to just make sure to note that this bill is all budget neutral. Both of them. So the first is the transfer authority, and what this is allowing the commissioner to transfer up to $5 million between the programs we currently use. So the border-to-border grant program, the low-density population program, and then the line extension program. Again, this would just allow that flexibility of a fiscal year's appropriation. And just, I know I've been in front of you earlier this year to just give a general update, but just want to remind everyone of the continued needs that are in the state of Minnesota. And so this is probably redundant information, but there are still 162,000 homes without 25-3 service. And then a reminder of our 2026 goal is to make sure that everybody has 100x20 service, and we still are seeing around 229 homes and businesses without that. Just to note again on the bottom, you can see last year. So these programs are making a difference and an impact, but there is still a great deal of need. And also a reminder, these are the most difficult and hardest and most expensive places to serve in the state. All right, so right now we are in round 10 of our funding. And a reminder, this is the 10th year of the Office of Broadband being here. And so application window is now open, and we do expect to make the awards for this round of $50 million in July. With that, a reminder, there's $30 million designated to the border-to-border grant program and $20 million in the low population density program. As another just a static, some stats, our last round that we awarded almost a month ago was we had 69 applications. And in those applications, there were 38 for the traditional border-to-border grant program and 31 in the low population program. Of that, $65 million in requests for that $30 million in border-to-border and $85 million in requests for the low population density. Again, we have $50 million available. And I also just want to remind everyone that there is a great deal of local match in these grant applications as well. And then also just recognizing that the state awards grants in locations, and we need to award these grants before we get into our BEAD dollars. We get those locations off the map or off the served and unserved list, and then we could focus the BEAD dollars on what is left. So we will not make awards until we're in the next biennium of the funding, so as July 1st. All right, and then the other ask is utilizing the federal capacity grant funding. So the language would authorize the deed commissioner to use that digital state digital equity capacity grant funding that was recently announced. And we know that Minnesota, for the first round of the capacity grants, is getting allocated over $12 million to be able to do the activities that were laid out in our digital opportunity plans. These funds will help with those activities by connecting people to people, connecting people to information, and connecting people to resources. And I should have, maybe it's in a later slide, I just give a little background of what that federal dollars look like. There was $65 million available nationwide for the BEAD program. Again, that's what we focused on in a lot of our conversation, the infrastructure dollar. But coinciding with that is the Digital Equity Act funding as well. And so that money, again, is the formula base of the $12 million that was decided by NTIA, our partners there. And each state had to develop a plan in how they would use those dollars. Just again, you've seen this slide before, just breaks down. We had planning dollars available to develop a statewide digital opportunity plan, which we have done. And now we're moving into capacity grants. And we'll also be looking for opportunities within this scope for competitive grants that perhaps Minnesota would like to apply for as well. Our approach was to get across the state. We had over 106 community digital connection communities that participated in gathering information that went into the plan. I really like to highlight we didn't have a plan when we started this. We went out, we gathered data and information, collected resources, community information, barriers, all of the things, and put that into our final plan. We also held listening sessions across the state. And again, you can see we tried to get all over as best we could. And finally, what was some examples that were identified in the digital opportunity plan? And these just list a few of the things that were identified would be good opportunities for communities. And so curriculum and administering grants through high schools, after school programs, colleges, to train our students in different technology area fields, as well as doing some formula grants to our local townships, cities, and communities, trying to take all the competitiveness out, because we know opportunities aren't always there when you're in greater Minnesota or in smaller communities or whatever that community looks like with our nonprofits. That is also difficult applying for grants. So having some formula-based grants, we think, provides some equity across the board. And then finally, helping to reduce internet costs in low-income households. We all know the ACP program is going away, so looking at that as well. And then finally, where are we now? Well, I'm excited to say last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago now, time seems to fly this session, our plan has been approved. So NTIA has approved our digital opportunity plan, and it is posted on our website. And what comes next? So once that was approved, we move into the notice of funding, and now we have 60 days to do all of the things within the notice of funding and put together a plan based on some very rigorous criteria from NTIA, our federal partners, to be able to access that $12 million and put all of these things as much as we can into action. So we would like to have legislative authorization to be able to move forward. And so with that is what I have. Happy to answer any questions and provide any more clarity that you need.
Thank you. First question is Representative Pozo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Mackey, for the update. When I was learning about this and carrying the bill last year for the $100 million, on the biennium, I know there was some question about the timing of the federal money, and that there we had, I think, received the thumbs up, the green light that it was going to come, but it hadn't come. If you can give an update on where things are with the federal partners, I think you mentioned some of it, but if you can sort of more explicitly talk about historically and then up to this moment, those federal funds.
Director Mackey.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Purcell. Really great question, and it's really complicated because I know I'm talking about BEAD dollars and I'm talking about digital equity dollars. So they are two pieces of a big puzzle of the federal dollars. So we are still developing our BEAD plan, the infrastructure plan, and that's where the $652 million sits. That plan is still a little bit ways away from being finalized. We have to approve Volume 1. And we're working with our partner back and forth, NTIA, to get it where it is compatible for what our needs are and what the national needs are. I think it's very important to recognize every state is different and their plans look very different. This is a very unusual federal program where states get to sort of design it. So Volume 1, once that is approved, we can move into our challenge process, which opens up a 120-day window to make sure all the locations on the map are accurate. If there are locations that are in the middle of a cornfield, like by my house, that are showing it needs service, but it's not going to need service, let's get those off the map and put them in places where maybe we've missed a home or a location that got missed. So optimizing that time to have accurate data. And then once we get through the challenge process and then Volume 2 is approved, which Volume is much more deep and in the weeds and complicated, once both of those are approved, we can move into 365 days to be able to find all of our subgrantee selections. So all the people that are going to participate, our providers or across the state, we have to show how we serve all those people on the map. And so that'll take us some time to really go through. They're the hardest, most difficult places to serve. So that's where the BEAD dollars is at and sort of that delay. I would anticipate, based on what I just said, in the 365 days, that construction wouldn't actually happen for infrastructure until the spring of 2026. And we will not get the funding until our approved final plan at the end of that 365 is approved. So that's the federal dollars, and that's why this $100 million that you also dedicated to it is so important to sort of A, bridge the gap, but also take off areas of the state that we can, because $652 million is going to be a really tight challenge to serve all those locations. And then the Digital Equity Act is separate. And so we have a plan now, and it's a little different because we had to do the plan before we can go into the notice of funding and get the money. I would anticipate we'll have the $12 million much quicker with the window of 60 days to do the notice of funding, have them approve it, and maybe by fall we'll be able to start implementing some of the digital opportunity ideas. Was that helpful? Sorry, that was a lot.
Representative Purcell.
Thank you. That was very helpful.
Okay. Director Maki, so I have a question with the Transport Authority. So within these programs, are there like one program that's in more demand or more need than the others? Is that why you guys need that flexibility?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So that's a really excellent question as well. So we know $30 million and $20 million, when applications come in to serve locations, they're not exactly rounded. And so we've had some really excellent applications that have come in on the low population, but because we don't have the extra $500,000 or $1 million to be able to do that, because it cuts off especially low population at 20 million, then we either ask the provider to bring it down and not serve certain areas that they really want to because we run out of funds. And so as I stated, the low population was definitely oversubscribed with $85 million in requests. And those will be people that continue to have to wait for service. So if we can have a little flexibility to not disapprove an application because of and I don't want to say a small dollar amount of shortfall, because $5 million is a lot of money. But if we could fund an additional few projects by moving things around, because they're either higher quality projects or projects that have financial local support. We've seen a lot of communities, counties, and provide some matching funds through ARPA dollars, and we take those into consideration, because if they're willing to use their dollars for broadband, we think that's a good use of money.
Okay. And then one last question. Do you guys follow up with these providers who receive these grants, whether they are providing the service connection that's needed, which is like the 2030 or the 120, the 120. Do you guys follow up with them?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, so we do site visits on every single grant project that we do. We are out there with our partners at Connected Nation running speed tests. And certainly if any of the grant recipients, homeowners, if they would have issues or are not seeing the service, we would always work with them. But to date, we have had really excellent partners who do that. And again, my team is out there doing those inspections as well.
Okay. Representative Chop.
Yes, I just want to make some comments in regards to the importance of broadband, right? Because when I was farming, it was very challenging to get cell service, Wi-Fi, and broadband where I was at. And that made my job a lot more challenging. You know, something we need to take into consideration when we talk about broadband to all Minnesotans is that the world of quantum computing is advancing at a pace that some of us are not aware of, right? We have generative AI. You know, we have machine learning, and we have quantum computers that are a million times faster than what we grew up with, right? When I started out as a computer programmer, we used to write our code, right? You know, Java codes and C++ and RPG. And today I can go into an app and write a code for anything I need in Python or C++ or Ruby, right? And so these are the opportunities that rural Minnesotans are being left behind, and they're not having access to broadband. So I'm really proud to see that in Minnesota we have a 91% penetration rate for broadband, but we still have 10% of greater Minnesotans who need the service. And the work you're doing is very important. So I just want to put that into perspective. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the testifier, Ms. Mackey, I'm not quite sure I totally understand how the state and federal programs fit together with our goal of getting our state covered 100%. And I think I heard you mention on the federal side, you weren't sure that $652 million would be quite enough to finish the project or finish what the goal was. Are we that far short in funding of getting our state covered, or what's the 652 going to be used for in regard to our state build out?
Director Maki.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. First and foremost, I want to say that we are working on an RFP to really identify total cost of all of those things. I think in the past, last report that the governor's task force put together, they estimated, of, I think it was like $1.4 billion to connect everyone to fiber. So when you look at and obviously you've been making investments since that report, but we know the cost of labor continues to rise, the cost of goods and services, as well as the most difficult areas of the state are the most costly. We do have the line extension program, and within that we can fund up to $25,000 per drop to get to the home. And so even if you would say everybody that's left would cost $25,000, which it wouldn't, but even at an estimate, I think the data, and it's also what do we define as reliable, affordable broadband, and Minnesota has the standard real high here of making sure that we have fiber when it is appropriate. With the federal dollars, you know, we are trying to mirror that as much as we can within the parameters of what our federal partners would like us to do, but we know we are a model here at the state of Minnesota for other states in how to get that done efficiently and with our ISP partners to do it in a speed that seems to be working. So hopefully that sort of helps answer the question a little bit more, but the 652 will go into the infrastructure and continuing to do what we've been doing. The hard part is we have to show NTIA that we're going to get to all the unserved locations. So that may mean some folks are going to have wireless, which I live in greater Minnesota and I'm on fixed wireless. And if you haven't heard me say this, when my farmer friend next door plants corn, I have to cut out some tassels in the fall to have line of sight again. So I get it.
Okay. Representative Anderson. Further discussion? All right, seeing none, closing remarks, Director.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representatives. Again, appreciate your support and interest in the work that we do at the Office of Broadband Development and at DEED. I'm really incredibly proud of the team and the efforts that they make to ensure that all people live and work in the communities that they would like to, and that is with broadband access. So thank you.
Thank you, Director, and thank you, Dario, for being here today. All right, members, that is all that we have today. I believe next week is break. No, we don't have break. Oh, okay. I guess we don't have break. just looking forward to that. All right. Well, then our next, any questions? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just again, kind of the roadmap. This is a finance bill. Will there be a separate policy bill coming out of this committee?
The plan right now is to put it all in one omnibus bill. So that is the current plan. All right, seeing no further questions or announcement, our next meeting is Tuesday, April 9th, and this meeting is adjourned.